Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Let's please go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm going to start out with a statement. I was sitting in a meeting a few months ago, and I don't remember the meeting. I don't remember the dynamics of what. I don't even remember the speaker. I don't remember any of that stuff. So I'm telling you that the reason I'm telling you that is because there wasn't anything specifically going on in that meeting that inspired what I'd heard. I was sitting there, and one of the more clear times in my heart that I heard the Lord, not an audible voice, you know, not a vision. There wasn't a rumbling, there wasn't lightning and thunder. On the inside of me, I heard the Lord say, "Sickness is a fruit." Lord said, "Sickness is a fruit." And when He said it, I was like, "Yeah, amen. You know, cool." And I wrote it down in my notes. And I went on listening to the speaker, because I believe that when the word's going forth, one of the greatest things you can do to honor God is to honor the word. And so I was listening to the speaker. So then that night, the next day, in my random thoughts, I would just think about that statement the Lord said to me, "Sickness is a fruit. Sickness is a fruit. Sickness is a fruit. You don't get a fruit without a seed." It only happened one time. That was in Genesis, chapter 1. Hasn't happened since. God ceased creating trees, creating grass, creating, after He rested on the eighth day, on the seventh day, sorry. And we all went into that same rest. He created something one time that has perpetually existed ever since. I made a statement last night, and folks looked at me sideways. So let me say some things. There's going to be some challenging things I'm going to say today. Not thinking of any of you. I'm thinking about what the Holy Spirit wants to do to set us free. So if something hits you, you know, write a letter to the editor. It's not me. You can argue with him. I'm not thinking of anybody individual. I'm not thinking of any specific situations unless I allude to them. And so if there's something that hits you, I didn't aim for you. I was just throwing grenades and you happened to be within the swath. Okay. I made the statement that there are more named illnesses, conditions, sicknesses, and diseases today than there were people 1,000 years ago. Hopefully you went tilt. There are more named conditions, sicknesses, diseases, illnesses, problems today, 2017, than there was
1000 AD. People. If that doesn't shake you, then I don't know how to create impact. What that means is we've allowed the enemy to literally create and agree with and deal with more diseases, sicknesses, illness, and conditions than there were people 1,000 years ago. He literally has taken advantage of the explosive population growth by creating sicknesses and diseases after everybody. You know, the devil has a name for you. Jesus has a name for you. Jesus wrote his on a white rock. White, talking about pure and clean. Rock, talking about unchanging. The devil has written your name too, and he wants to call it cancer, diabetes, depression, some other illness, some other condition, some other. And you're going to have to choose what name you have. Because he'll keep creating stuff until you say, oh, that's my thing. Has anybody, you know why they do the commercials the way they do them for these medicines? Do you feel fatigued? Well, now that you mention it, do you find that every once in a while one of your legs shivers? I never thought of it until right now, but you're right. Do you find it sometimes hard to sleep? Oh my gosh, what do I have? And you take the name. That's my name. That's who I am. And then you get to deal with the sickness and the disease that the medicine can't cure. All it can do is deal with the symptoms of. Have you ever noticed that? None of these medicines that come out anymore ever actually cure diseases. They just deal with symptoms of them. Hey, you're going to have diabetes the rest of your life, so take this pill for the rest of your life. By the way, it's $100 a pop. As if that didn't come out of the mind of the enemy. Sickness is a fruit. Let's go to John chapter 9. Hopefully you're already there. I'm going to try to kick this thing in the head. I'm going to slaughter a religious cow right in front of you. There's going to be a murder today at Beloved Church. Pretend there's a sacred cow up here, a holy sacred cow. This is the cow that we've all rode in on for years and years and years because this sacred cow is unchangeable. And I'm going to shoot old Betsy in the face. Verse 1 in John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Did the man see Jesus? Do you only get healed if you see Jesus? Or does Jesus see you? When you don't see him. Sometimes we're so carnal. I'm only going to believe it if I feel it. Only if I see it do I, only if I see Jesus walk into the place do I know that he wants to heal me. What if you're blind? What if there's a place in your life that you're just blind because you've never actually heard the truth? What's the definition of darkness? Absence of light. If you don't have light in a matter, then by default it's dark, which means you lack understanding. Jesus is the light of the world. Until he moves into a place, there's no light there. Until you allow him or invite him or open the door for him to move there, you will stay in darkness and you will believe that it's God's plan for there to be darkness there. And it is anti-Christ in its will because Jesus doesn't want there to be any darkness anywhere, anytime, for anyone. Jesus seen the blind man. The blind man did not see him. Verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is a good question, y'all. If I was a disciple, I'd have asked it. Let's solve some mysteries. This is a big mystery. Folks born sick. Born with birth defects. Born with problems. Born with issues. This is a good... Let's answer this question once and for all. Let's settle it. The baby in the womb sin? Or mommy and daddy sin? Which, by the way, can you see what God's opinion is based upon the disciples' question as to whether a life in the womb is actually a person or not? I'm sorry, if that goes contrary to your politics, your politics are anti-Christ. Baby Jesus, riding a bicycle, wherever that came from. Thank you, Marty. Blame it on Jordan. Jesus knew you before you knew him. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, Jesus knew all your parts. So when were you a person? When you came out of the womb or before you got in the womb? So therefore, if a child is in the womb and you terminate its life, the Bible calls that murder. Thank God, God forgives murder. But that doesn't mean that we need to pass laws protecting murder. That'd be a great place for an amen for those of you that love people. This is a good question. Who made the mistake? There obviously has to be a mistake. Remember, Jesus said to me, sickness is a fruit. So where did the seed come from? Was it mom? Was it dad? Or was it baby? This is a good question, y'all. What if you have a fruit, a nasty, stanky, worm-eaten, rotting fruit of a sickness or a disease or poverty or depression or some kind of scar that you just tend to want to hang on to? Where'd you get it from? Was it me or was it Bob? Right, because those are the only two answers. It either has to be, because this man was born blind, it has to be the sin of the parents or the sin of the child. There can't be any other option based upon our way of thinking. Jesus answered, verse 3, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Aha! Got it! It wasn't a man's sin. It wasn't the baby's sin. It wasn't the parents' sin. It was God. I mean, I'm not going to say it was God's sin, because that would be blasphemy. Right? It was God. God did it. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that kind of how that looks? So therefore, God wants some people to be sick. Why? Because he wants to show how awesome he is at healing. Right? I mean, that's how God is. God is so insecure that he has to create a problem so that he can create a solution for you to watch. Just so you know that he can solve problems, even though he created the problem. Amen. Right? Listen, I am not yet good. I'm going there. But I'm not yet good at raising the dead. Seen some of it. But I haven't, I'm praying for the day I just walk up in a casket and kick that sucker and somebody pops out like a jack-in-the-box. Amen. That's what I'm believing for. Y'all laugh. Laugh all you want. Hide and watch. I'm not good yet. Let's say I was. Let's say I'm there. Let's say I'm there at the whole kicking jack-in-the-box thing. And just to inspire faith amongst beloved church and all of the people of God, I decided to come in here. I got this great plan from God. God gave me this whole plan. I'm going to come into church. I'm going to have Kay come and sit up here in one of the royal anointed chairs that we have in the yellow room. I'm going to have her sit on the stage with me, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to tell everybody about God really wanting to raise the dead. God is a good God, and God hates death, and God wants to raise the dead. And I pull my pistol out, and if somehow some of you don't faint or even B, shoot me back, because I know there's a bunch of conceal and carry folk in here. And you just sit there in complete awe and utter disgust and in a crazy, confused, all kinds of things. And I say, no, hold on. Whoa. This is for the glory of God. I'm going to show you how awesome God is. Just hang on. Watch. I've got a plan. All right? So, Richard, call 911. 911. Ambulance shows up, and ambulance drivers come in and grab Kay and stick her out in the ambulance and take her back to the morgue and pronounce her, you know, at 11:04, dead. The police are in a greater number, and they come and they grab your beloved pastor, rightfully so. Drag his sorry butt off to the prison, rightfully so. Set the bond at some number that I can't access. And I'm just telling everybody, hey, just chill. I got this. Got a plan. Newspaper, front page, crazy cult pastor. Because, by the way, so just so you all know, because you're sitting in here, you're in a cult. It's actually in government documents, because half the city of Pearl City came to a city meeting and let them know that we were a cult. So, sorry. Didn't mean to do that to y'all. Wasn't my intention. But just so you know, you're not actually a church until you're a cult first. So, crazy cult leader pastor shoots wife in name of God. Front line. Headline. Front page. Journal Standard. Rockford Register Star. Chicago Trib. Probably goes across the nation. National coverage. Crazy whacked out preacher. Gun control in churches. I mean, can you just imagine all the... This is... And I'm just chilling, sitting in my cell. It's all according to the plan. Got it all worked out. 3-4 weeks go by. All the complications, all they had to prove all the stuff, so they haven't quite yet buried Kay. And then I'm in my cell, praying in tongues. I'm getting at it, too. I mean, we're talking like machine gun praying in tongues. All right, Lord, it's time to manifest the plan that we worked out. Me and you, God. We're going to do it together. Manifest the plan. Here we go. That's me groaning in the spirit. Shake. Earthquake. Doors fly open on the cell. And all the other 100 doors between my cell and the entrance, the exit of Stevenson County jail. And I walk out. And you can like hear the background music. Da, da, da. And I am so filled with the Spirit of God that I translate myself over to the morgue, jerk open the refrigerator. Okay, come alive. And they got, it's the morgue, right? So they got audio and video recorders in there. National news. Crazy cult preacher raises shot wife from the dead on video. News at 10. Watch here for the YouTube video. Don't you know everybody in the nation would say, wow, what a good God. What a good God. I mean, we thought for a second there that he was a really bad God by telling that preacher fool to shoot his wife. But now we see, what a good God. What a loving God. She was only dead for 4 weeks. It's not a big deal. Would you define that God as good or bad? I'd say if that was God's plan, that ain't the best plan. If Jesus is God and the Father is God, that means the Father, God, had someone born blind, and Jesus, God, healed blind. So God made blind, and God healed blind. Based upon how people interpret this story, that's what you think. So there's something on the inside of you. There's a big sacred cow. There's something on the inside of you. Say, you know, sometimes God just does some stuff. Might not figure it out. You know, God is, sometimes he does strange and wonderful things. If you believe that's a doctrine, let me say this. Based upon this story, if that is your doctrine, if your doctrine is God sometimes makes people sick so that he can show his glory in making people well. If you believe that doctrine, let me ask you this. Is every single person that's ever been born sick since the beginning of time been made whole to the glory of God the Father? So you're saying there are people that have actually been born sick, born blind, born deaf, born Down syndrome, born, and they've actually died that way? Well, God made a major mistake. He didn't get his glory in those situations. If this is your doctrine, amen now. Or maybe we need to see this in a different way. How about this? Jesus said, neither did this man sin, nor did his parents. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus said, these folks didn't sin. Romans says, every person has sinned. Who's right? You have to interpret the scriptures with the scriptures, y'all. If you get a doctrine from one verse and you take it out of context and you don't put it through the entire Word of God, this is how the doctrine is formed. Well, sometimes God just wants some folks sick. And sometimes God just wants some people in misery, just so the rest of the world can know there are people in misery and so then they can have compassion and do wonderful things for people. Which, by the way, makes God not really a very good God. He's kind of mean. And then they say other things like, well, this sickness is a gift from God. If it wasn't for this sickness, I never would have gotten close to God. Kay and I have somebody in our family that literally has had that happen where they had cancer and have had stuff cut off. And because during the process of stuff getting cut off and chemotherapy and all these other things, they got closer to God. They said, therefore, the cancer was from God. In other words, A plus B equals C. There's no other formula that can make sense. If that's your doctrine, that means everything that's bad's happening to you is from God. And can I just say this? By the way, you are really dense. Because God wrote in here how much of a relationship he wants to have with you and what kind of relationship he wants to have with you. And so if this don't do it for you, if the only way for you to get it is through cancer, let's just dance. Amen. If I wrote you a letter and told you where to meet me, to pick me up from the airplane, at what time and where, and then you took the letter, and you didn't read it, and you crumpled it up, threw it in a trash can, and you were going for a walk one day, and someone ran you over in a car and got down and punched you 5 times in the face and said, by the way, Steve's going to be at the airport at such and such a time in such and such a place. I'm just a messenger. I love you. Peace out. That's probably not the best way for you to get the message. It's been a whole lot easier to read a letter. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, neither is this man sin nor his parents. Did either of them sin? Yes. He was talking about specifically this blindness, not the man's birth. Amen. So in context, he's talking about the blindness. The contemporary English version of this verse says, no, it wasn't. Jesus answered, exclamation point. But because of his blindness, you will see God work a miracle for him. Can I say this? Why are we so doggedly determined to try to figure out why everything happens all the time and not just go ahead and deal with the things that have happened and put God into the mix of it? No, I was hoping for a little more agreement on that. You know how much energy, mental energy, how much time we spend trying to figure out why things happen? Instead of just saying, oh, that dude's blind. I've got the Spirit of God. Spirit of God? Blind guy? Spirit of God? Blind guy? Simple solution. Heal the guy. You know, I don't have to go give an interview. You were always blind. Okay. What kind of water did your mother drink? How old are you? What was your birthday? What was your address? What color hair did your dad have? Who cares? Amen. Who cares? Did Jesus care? I mean, Jesus cared about the guy being blind. He didn't care about the cause because he was the effect. Amen. Is it all right for me to shoot the cow now? Bang. Not my wife. Let me read this in the Message translation. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. I love the Message translation. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. How many times do we ask the wrong question? James says, ask that you may receive. The reason you don't receive is because you don't ask. Or the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. The reason you don't receive is because you ask amiss. So what happened specifically in this instant? The disciples asked amiss, and so they didn't receive the answer to the question they were actually looking for. Because they asked amiss. Scripture interpreting Scripture. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. Man, does that hit home? Who's to blame? Who caused this? Can I say this real quick? Let me give you a universal answer. Devil. Would you like to get mad at the real legitimate cause? Devil. Would you like to get some revenge? Devil. Amen. You know why the enemy tries to get you into strife, unforgiveness, and contention with others? So you can take righteous anger, righteous indignation, and put them on a person, a flesh and blood, instead of putting them on him. It's one of the greatest tactics the enemy has. Here's what I'll do so they don't get mad at me. I'll get them mad at Jenna. If I get everybody mad at Jenna, nobody will even be thinking about me. They'll all be attacking Jenna, and then they'll take Jenna out, and then I'll go to Zach. I get everybody mad at Zach. And then they'll take Zach out. This is awesome. What a great plan. And these Christians had no idea that they're wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen. Yeah, that didn't go over very well. You're not actually wrestling. Remember Peter chastised, literally rebuked the Lord, it says in Matthew 16, rebuked Jesus, took him aside to rebuke him. It's just, that is feisty, by the way. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus recognized who was the author of the offense that was trying to come through Peter. And he spoke to the offense instead of speaking to the person. The Bible actually literally says that he looked away from Peter and he looked at the disciples and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he didn't want it to be about Peter, but about the influence working through Peter. If you're mad at a single individual today, if you have unforgiveness, if you have any anger towards someone, if you have any strife, any malice towards an individual in this room right now today, anyone, anywhere in this room, by the sound of my voice, if you have that, you have been deceived. You're asking, who did sin? This person or this person? And Jesus is saying, neither. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light. So Jesus was saying that the answer to this situation is heal the guy, not find out why he's blind. Remember, Jesus brought me into some of these revelations by saying to me, sickness is a fruit. So then what was the fruit that made this man blind? Let me say this. You walk through a dirty world. Is anybody aware that this is a fallen world? That this world has a king? And for us who have changed kingdoms, we have come to a different king and a different kingdom. But we are ambassadors from that king and from that kingdom into a dark, dirty, and fallen world. If you walk through dirt, your feet will get dirty. I don't care how holy you are. Jesus' feet got dirty. His feet were washed. Jesus got dirty. And you think that you're not going to either. There are going to be some things that just happen, beloved. And instead of wasting the time and the effort and the energy to try to figure it out, well, maybe I touched the doorknob that other guy touched and that one guy sneezed, you know, within 30 feet of me at work. And then, you know, one time I was at the supermarket and I seen some kid drip snot. And let me say this. The cold, the flu, and most of these other things that we deal with, you realize the things that cause problems in your body are so small that you need a microscope to see it? A germ, a virus, a bacteria, you cannot see that with the naked eye. You cannot. You have to see it with a microscope. It's invisible to the naked eye. Yet real. And we have more faith in a germ than in God, who is invisible to the naked eye, but yet oh so more real. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus said, that the sick need a doctor. The healthy don't need a doctor. He said this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in at least two of those instances, they were at different times in his ministry, which means he repeated this. He said this more than once. Now, most of us are sitting here thinking, well, duh. How deep is that? Just hang on. You're about to get in over your head. Jesus is the great physician. Amen. We all agree with that. Jesus is the great physician. Where does Jesus reside? Yeah, uh-oh. Josiah just said, uh-oh. He knows what's coming. If Jesus is the great physician and he resides on the inside of you, and somehow a microscopic germ has the ability to move into the inside of you and overwhelm Jesus Christ, we have been lied to about the power of God. We have been lied to about the omnipotence of God. We have been lied to about the divinity of God, because a germ overpowered a God in your body. Yeah, I said I was going to take you in a little deep. Jesus said that a well person doesn't need a doctor. I was cruising through the Gospels one day, and I remember reading a story about Peter's mother-in-law. You know, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, which is why Peter denied him three times, by the way. Y'all catch that on Tuesday. Anyway, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. She was so sick that she was in the bed. She couldn't move, had a fever. Jesus came in, touched her hand, rebuked the fever. She jumped up and went and served the whole group. I mean, not like got healed, like, oh, I feel a little better. I'm just going to go sit down over here and just relish in the betterness. She popped up and ministered to the gang. Talk about feeling better. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't think Peter ever got sick. And it was just a random thought. And anybody ever have a thought that just kind of, okay, good. I'm human. And then I remember reading about Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Lazarus was actually so friendly with Jesus that Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha, were mentioned multiple times in the scriptures about sitting at his feet. And for those of you that are really anti-Martha, if you go read the story about that Mary and Martha when Jesus kind of chastised Martha for being busy about, it said that they both sat at his feet and Martha got up. In other words, Martha wasn't just running around the house like, dear Jesus, why doesn't Mary do anything? She was at one point sitting at Jesus' feet. Which I could probably say then all of a sudden most of us qualify for Martha, because we'll sit at Jesus' feet for a little while. But then, I mean, things got to get done, right? Kids got to go places, got to get work done. You know, got to go up and take a shower. I mean, things got to get done, Lord. I mean, you got to understand that this is a natural life and we got to do natural things. And I can't just sit around at your feet all day long. Yet Martha is the one that got chastised. Anyway, we're going to move on. So Lazarus was pretty close to Jesus. Lazarus died. He was dead 4 days. If you go and look at that story in John chapter 11, you will find out that when the messenger came to Jesus to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick, if you do the math, and I don't have time to do it with you, but if you do the math, you'll find out that Lazarus was actually dead when the messenger came to tell Jesus. If you'll do the math, you'll figure it out. That Lazarus wasn't sick when the messenger came to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was already dead. And Jesus knew that. which is why he tarried two more days where he was and then went and raised Lazarus from the dead. Because dead a day, or dead 4 days, dead is dead. Amen? Okay, let me say it this way. To Jesus, dead is dead. Dead a day, dead 4 days. Dead is dead. To you, headache, maybe not a big deal, but the doctor said, cancer! Ah! To Jesus, cancer. Whatever. Amen. 10 lepers walk up, and he says, you're fine. See ya. Leprosy. Leprosy in their day was like AIDS. I mean, you got it? You got it. You're dead. It's going to happen sooner or later. You got leprosy. Things are going to fall off. You're going to die. There was no being healed of leprosy. 10 of them walk up to Jesus, and Jesus says, you guys are fine. Just go show yourself to the priest. You're good. And they went away, and they were like, oh, my gosh, what just happened? Do you realize he kind of like nonchalantly, like kind of just like a whatever, kind of like was probably like talking to the gang, and then these guys walked up, and he's like, no, just go show yourselves to the priest. You're good. And 10 lepers walk off and get healed? Come on, y'all. We look at these stories, and we're like, oh, Jesus healed 10 lepers. Yay. Put yourself there for a minute. 10 lepers, 10 of the most dangerous, wicked, destructive diseases walked up to Jesus, and all he barely even acknowledged it. He was minding his own business, walking into town one day, and they were carrying a dead kid out in a casket, and he seen his mama weeping. And Jesus just went over to the casket and poked it. And the dude popped out. He wasn't even planning on going there. It just crossed his path. Beloved, why do we think like headache, flu, cancer, It does not, God doesn't have that opinion of it. Born blind at birth? Lepers, lake in the way, I'll just walk across it, big storm, shut up. You know, Jesus not one time was like, man, there's a big storm moving in. Fellas, let's intercede. 3 hours. Ready? Go. Shunday, 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 shunday. Did it work? I don't know, Lord. There's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Lazarus was probably the closest person that I can find in all the scriptures to Jesus who was ever sick. Okay, here's where your cages start to get rattled. So, everybody say this. I love Pastor Steve. I'm looking for the ones that ain't smiling. All right. There's not one instance of any disciple ever being sick. There's not one scriptural account of any disciple ever being sick. And for those of you that are like, well, those guys were holy. Judas was a disciple. And Jesus knew when he picked Judas that Judas was who Judas was. He didn't get surprised on the night of the Last Supper. Oh, it's Judas. What? I kind of figured it had to be one of y'all, but it's Judas. Surprise. Not one instance in all of scriptures of a disciple ever being sick. Now I'm talking Book of Acts. We're talking lifetime. There's not one instance, and I know what you're probably thinking, man, these guys were super, super holy. Go read it, please. I mean, these guys were, they were banging off of ignorance and unbelief on every page. Thomas denied Jesus when the other 11 said, we seen him, bro. You guys are drunk. I won't believe unless I put my hand into the print of the nails, unless I thrust my hand into his side. And then literally within seconds of Thomas making that statement, Jesus shows up in a room with a locked door and says, "Yo, Thomas." No, come here, bro. These guys weren't like these, you know, we got them up on pedestals. Take them down. Jesus is the only one on the throne. Put him there. What made these guys awesome? Them being awesome or the one they were with who was awesome? Come on now. Not one instance in all of Scripture, last chapter of the book of Acts, first chapter of the book of Matthew. Not one instance ever of any disciple ever being sick. In fact, if you look at the book of Acts, they literally did what Jesus did. You know, Paul, there is no record of in Scripture anywhere where Paul actually physically seen Jesus' ministry. The only physical proof that we have that Paul even knew Jesus is that he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And yet Paul was so strong in the Lord and in the power of his might that he was stoned to death and raised from the dead. That he was in prisons and he would be praising God and prisons would rattle and doors would fall off. He would see demonic problems going on, people. He would just speak a word and things would get radically changed. Paul prayed over napkins, handkerchiefs, and they went from Paul to sick people. They got healed. Jesus never did that. Jesus never did that. Paul did something Jesus didn't do. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Not one time in all the Gospels do we ever see an instant of Jesus' shadow healing anyone. And Peter did it right out the box. Works that I do, shall you do. These guys were like, they were like jalapenos and mixed with radishes and horseradish. And I mean, they were strong. They were breathing fire. Don't you know that some little germ didn't come up and say, "Excuse me, Peter, can I take you out of commission a couple weeks?" "Oh, well, I guess, since I'm not really doing anything important. It's not like I'm just planting the church." "No, you can't come in here. In the world you think you are. Why don't we feel that way? We have been indoctrinated by this world that you are supposed to be sick. When you get a job, well, great, what's the salary?" "Okay. How many sick days?" "Well, that's the good part. We're going to give you 13 sick days a year." "I could get to be sick 13 times? Woo-hoo! Bonus!" You know what you just said to hell? "Hey, 13 times a year, you got the right to come up here and wreck my life because I'm going to still get paid." Hey, man, good for me. I mean, if you're going to be sick, you might as well get paid too, right? But if you get sick 14 days, oh, I mean, stupid devil, hey, sick 14 days, lost a day of work. But you're okay with the 13 days. I'm sorry, is this landing somewhere? If it's not landing in your airport, just let it fly over. You have been indoctrinated. You have been convinced that you have to be sick. I'm telling you. I know, we're all like, hey, amen. You know why you've been indoctrinated that way? Because you live in a dirty world. And we spend more time, oftentimes, we spend more time with the dirt. How did Jesus heal this guy? You guys remember the story here in John chapter 9? How did Jesus heal him? Amen. Good scholars in here. He went, whoop, whoop. That's how he healed him. Nah, I shortened it a little bit. I mean, he spit. He made clay out of the spittle. I like the King James. Sounds better. Spittle. He made clay out of the spittle, and he put it on his eyes. And he sent him to the pool. You all remember the story? What pool? The pool of Siloam. Siloam meant sent. Man born blind. The creator of the universe made new dirt from his own substance, put it where the problem was, and then told him to go and be completely saturated by the sent one. Man, I hope you get this. Jesus' solution for you is to let the new dirt create what it needs to create in your life by you going to the sent one and being completely immersed, completely washed in the sent one, Jesus Christ. This is why the disciples were never sick. Their information, they did not have the constant negative news network. For those of you that are slow, that's CNN. Constant negative news. They didn't have that. They didn't have Facebook telling them that they were at war with a country that you never heard of. We're at war with Bahrain. Hey, where's Bahrain? I don't know. We're at war with them. Who? I don't know. People. There's an earthquake in some country I've never heard of. Oh, it must be the end times. Did you hear about the blood moon? You mean the moon that turns red every so often anyway? Because pretty much I'd go outside once, twice a year and see a red moon. But the world's going to end because of this exact blood moon. Hey, buy my book. It's only $37. I'm going to make you rich because you can figure out the moon turned red. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. If you bought the book, just repent. God will forgive you. Amen. Listen, y'all. If you weren't saturated by the world telling you that you had to be sick, that you had to be tired, that you had to be broke, you know how much sleep you're supposed to get? Well, there's charts, right? I mean, you're this age, and you do this, and so this is how much. How about this? How about you go to bed when you're tired, and you wake up when you're done? Well, that's, you can't do it that way. I know, because it violates the chart. Everything in our life is a derivative of this. This world has infected us with its way of thinking. It has planted seeds, and we've got all of this fruit coming forth. And it's manifesting in sickness and disease. Because when you get old, your joints have to hurt, right? No, they have to. Yes, they do. Don't you listen to the commercials? It's on the commercial. It's got to be the gospel truth. Come on now. And then some crazy, whacked out fool like me, cult leader, like me will come along and say, but wait a minute, I remember reading a story about Caleb who literally went up a mountain, fought giants, and took a mountain from giants at 85. Well, he just didn't have arthritis. But you just told me everybody gets it. Well, everybody but. Well, don't you know that when you get older, you have to have glasses? Your eyesight just is going to change. But what about Moses? At 120, anybody that old? Don't raise your hand if you are. At 120, his natural forces were not abated. I'm keeping it PG. What that meant was he could still man up. Amen. And his eyesight was not dim. 120. 120. Well, that's just Moses. He was special. Yes, I know. Moses was special. Do you remember what Jesus said? Let me quote it to you. John the Baptist is the greatest of all Old Testament prophets, but he that is in the kingdom of God is better than him. Jesus said, John the Baptist ahead of Moses. Right?
And then he said, average, run-of-the-mill Christian ahead of John the Baptist. And Moses, 120. The reason you have it is because you've been convinced you have to have it. Male pattern baldness. I'm just going to go ahead and drive her home. If you got something to throw, leave it. Male pattern baldness. You know, in the scriptures, if anybody ever had male pattern baldness, they literally made fun of them. In other words, it was so rare that if somebody actually had it, they made fun of them. They did it to Elijah, and he tried to burn their barley fields. And now it's just accepted. In fact, if you don't have male, my brother, my oldest brother, whom none of you have probably ever met, except for maybe Stace, my oldest brother was nearly bald in his senior pictures. 18. Male pattern baldness. Barely male. I mean, guys are still like freaked out chemically at 18. I was a guy. I remember. Yet that was still setting in on him. Come on, y'all. Kids born with diabetes. They just get a shot for the rest of their life. I was with some kid yesterday. He got diagnosed with diabetes at 14. He's had to take a shot every day of his life since 14. 14. He's been convinced. We've been convinced. We've been convinced. What if one of these things came knocking on your door and you were convinced of a different truth? What if you were like a disciple? Now, I want you to get this. How did the disciples operate in this kind of divine health? Think about this. Please, I'm begging you. I want to be the healthiest group of people in the region. Think about this. What did they do different than you? Were they more anointed than you? Just so you know, they weren't even born again. They were disciples. Jesus hadn't died yet. They were just with Jesus. Let me ask you this. Who is more with Jesus? A disciple who walked with him in the natural, or a Christian who has Jesus literally setting up camp in a temple on the inside of their heart? Who could be closer to Jesus? But most of the time what we do is we treat Jesus like he's in the third row of the minivan. Just someone in the car. Not going to talk to him, not going to engage him, not going to listen to him, not going to have... We have discipleship classes. This isn't going to fall on y'all. The disciples they woke up. What'd they see? Seeing Jesus already ministering. And, you know, they probably wiped the sleep out their eyes. Jesus, can we get you anything? No, I'm good. I got food you know not of. Well, what do you want me to do? Sit. All right. Wow. 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 Man, it's lunchtime. Jesus, you need me to get some lunch? No, there's too many people. You feed them. Lord, there's 5,000 men. Did I stutter? No, you're Jesus. You don't stutter. What do we got? Bartholomew, you got something? No, man, I ain't got nothing. I woke up like you in the dirt. Man, should we go buy something? No, he said you feed them. Didn't say go buy something. Man, what do we got? Hey, guys, I found this little boy. Packed a lunch. He got a good mama. 2 fish and 5 loaves. Woohoo! Thanks a lot, stupid. 2 lives. What are we going to do with this? Well, I don't know. Take it to Jesus. See what can happen. 2 fish and 5 loaves? Let's do it. Separate them in 50, guys. Okay, Lord. That was lunch. By dinner, you're out in the ocean, or the sea, not the ocean. You're out in the sea, raging storm. Jesus walks. Just wrap your mind around that for a minute. Can you see Jesus going up and down the waves? He'd probably go up and then go, woo.
Y'all think Jesus was this pious walking around with a halo guy. Don't you know if you were Jesus and you were walking on a storm in a sea, you were having a good time. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under. All right. Sorry. That's way too old. I could see him slide down a wave and be like, yeah. Who's the King of Kings? This guy. Disciples are out there. Oh, we're going to die. Bail, bail, bail. Row, row, row. Bail, bail, bail. What in the? What? Ah! A ghost. I mean, they're already dying. You know, if it was me, I'd be like, we're dying anyway. Come on. Bring the ghost. We're going down. And Peter, I think it's Jesus. I think you need to stop drinking the holy water. No, it's Jesus. Peter, you're topsy-turvy, the boat and all this kind of stuff. You know, you had a big lunch. You probably forgot your siesta. Threw that in there. Forgot your siesta, and you're just kind of loopy. Like, that ain't Jesus. No, really. Jesus, if that's you, let me come out there. What is Jesus going to do? All right, come. This is a day in the life. You know what your day is? Oh, snooze. 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 Ah, crap. Hey, Jesus, by the way, five minutes. I read the verse. I got the bread, daily bread, and you're awesome. And on the way to work, please give me a blessed day because that's how we're supposed to pray. Amen. Clock in. Hey, you know about the wars? Do you know about the sicknesses? Do you know about the problems? Do you know about the issues? Do you know you're going to go broke? Do you know that the world's falling apart? The world's going to hell in a handbasket? Yeah, I know, I know. Lunch. Whew. Praise God. At lunch, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. Hey, did you hear about Bob at work? No. What happened with Bob? Oh, well, let me tell you about Bob. Bob and Bob's wife. Woo, juicy. Keep talking. Oh, lunch is over. Okay, back to work. More death. More destruction. Hey, get the insurance papers right. Did you hear about the stuff? And then your spouse texts you, hey, by the way, the stove blew up. Ah, we didn't have enough money for Christmas already. Jesus, why doesn't God do anything for me? Oh, okay, top work's over. Clock out. Go home. Woo, praise God. I'm just going to relax. It's been a hectic day worrying all day. I'm going to sit in my couch and just let somebody else worry for me. Oh, homosexuality must be good because all the cool people are gay. People don't need to be married anymore. Don't you know they just cohabitate? Oh, pot smoking is funny because all the jokes revolve around pot smoking. Hey, man, we'll just, yeah, well, it's bedtime. I'm so tired. And then you wake up tomorrow. Man, my head really hurts. I've got like this arthritis thing going on in this leg right here. I don't know. Maybe I should spend some time with the Lord. No, he's hard to get a hold of sometimes, you know. Pray, never get an answer. I'll just, you know, I mean, I got some stuff in the cabinet. I'll just take that. That'll work. Are those two different days? Are those two different days? A disciple's day and our day. And I know I just made fun. And most of y'all ain't like that. I got it. But you realize the disciples, it was all day. All day, all night. And it was just natural that they stayed in divine health. It was just natural. They were with the physician. They never left his side. When he did send them out, he sent them out in his name. It was like he went with them. Is anybody catching on to this? Okay, I've lived in a degree of this for 23 years. I can count on one hand the number of times I've had something happen to me that lasted more than 48 hours in 23 years. Am I more holy than anybody else in here? No. Ask my wife. Don't ask her at church. I was convinced of this 23 years ago that God wants us to live in divine health, and so I've made it purposeful to live with the great physician for 23 years. You know, we have discipleship class. We have prayer time. We have different ways that we connect. Disciples live with the Master, and they lived with each other. And we make all these things available, and only a few people are on the inside track. Lap after lap after lap. Why has Judy got so much money? Why Ryan and Jess get to buy a big, beautiful house? Why? Did I sin or was it my parents? Amen. I want you to come in a couple of lanes on the track. Sickness is a fruit. I want us to start rejecting the seats. I want us to start rejecting the seats. Amen. This happens in your heart. You know, many of you are really good at some stuff. You've spent hours after hours after hours. You've learned how to do some things. You're a student of something. I'm asking you to be a student of this. Amen. I don't want to take that any deeper because people have their feelings hurt. All right. Stand up, please.